I'm sure all of you have heard music from the Broadway musical Jesus Christ Superstar, haven't you? And you've heard music from Godspell. All of these wonderful ingredients from a Broadway musical are just a way of show business trying to show that Jesus Christ is present, is real. And even though these are modern interpretations done in period costumes, they remind us of how the centuries have passed. And certainly Eden and I were reminded of that when we were listening to this 1,000-year-old choir singing both new and old music of the season. And how over the years we've tried to modernize Jesus Christ. We've tried to make Christ more up to date for people everywhere. And I don't know if it's possible, but it's interesting when you take the history and squeeze it down and try to see how do we really interpret that birth event that we use with a creche that all of you have in your homes. And how do we really make it 2016? Well, it's always been a problem really with the church to try to update Christ and to make Christ more relevant for your life as you've lived it. And I know when I look back over the many years that I look in the church, we've tried and attempted to make the service around Christmas something that's more meaningful for those people who dare come to church on Christmas anytime. Well, that's the case we have in terms of today's lesson, preparation. The preparation's always been a part of the Christmas event. Preparation. Preparation with gifts, preparation with food, preparation with family getting together, preparation in your own mind of what it all means to me. Preparation could mean a whole startling series of memories that come to your mind about Christmas. Times past, times present. Open your Bibles to this story that's not new. It's not. It's about John the Baptist and the preparation that went on and on before we come to the manger. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12, is a preparation. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who has spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." Now, John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I have baptized you with the water of repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Amen. Now, we all know that John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. We know the relationship is spelled out in both Matthew and Mark and Luke. We know that. Now, how close they were as cousins is anybody's guess, and really it doesn't matter. We're also aware that he had a strong following. We are learning that even with today's ancient writings coming to us. He had a huge following in that area of the world. And many of them thought that perhaps John the Baptist was the Messiah, that he was the promised one that was revealed in all of the Old Testament passages, that he was the answer to what they were looking for. He was indeed the David and the conqueror who was going to vanquish not just Rome, but any foes that were against Israel. Okay. We know this. And we know he captivated his followers with thinking and preaching that was really out of the ordinary. He called people to repent. And that was not really a popular word then. It's not a popular word now. But he was telling people, we want you to change. I want you to change. Because change is coming. It's coming. And you'd better be ready for it. He called them to repent. And the new day was not far away. Sometimes I try to imagine what went through the minds of those followers of John, who'd been with him for a long time. Remember, he wasn't a kid. He wasn't. When he told them that one person more powerful than I is coming, and I'm not worthy to touch his sandals. What did they think? What kind of a crazy man have we been following? What kind of a person would... I'm sure there were people there in the crowd who couldn't understand what in the world he was talking about. You have to keep in mind that the Jewish community, from common man to high priest, and all the in-between people who were there, much like us, people who were dedicated to the church and religious rules, were also some who didn't care. But to have him say that someone more powerful was coming. You know, I like to think they were probably looking for a general patent. A guy who would say the darndest things, sometimes shocking, and lead you into battle and you know you're going to win. And can you imagine living the way they had been living all of their lives under Roman rule and Roman control? Thinking that someone, maybe that's what he has in mind. Because nobody envisioned a ruler who was coming only to spread words of peace and love and forgiveness and hope. What kind of a ruler is that? And that's what John had in mind. And John was talking about, when you come down to the reality of Advent, none of us really concentrate on any of these thoughts. I don't. Oh, yes, I do it professionally. I've got to do that. That's what's expected in terms of preaching. But do I walk around all the time thinking of peace and love and hope and forgiveness? And we've been through enough seasons recently where hatred has been the prime commodity in terms of our thinking, hasn't it? Hasn't it? None of us can concentrate on this peace platform and be honest about our thinking changing. And usually Christmas is more economic than it is spiritual. And it's that way all around the world, I'm telling you. Christmas markets, praising Jesus. We looked at them and it was strictly economics, my friends. Strictly economics. Beautifully decorated. Peace, hope, love, forgiveness. You know, I think every year since I've been involved in ministry, soon to be 54, in those 54 years, I've always tried at Christmas time to try to wrap up the word in such a way that everyone would take the spiritual more importantly than ever before, because it was more important than ever before. And I said this, Christmas is past, and I'm sure I'll say it, Christmas is future. The spiritual is something that takes you away from pretend Christianity. And pretend Christmas. Now, I'm not eliminating the giving of gifts, and I'm not talking about erasing the happy holiday spirit that surrounds Christmas. I am saying that we need, individually, we need desperately to formulate a very quiet time to ponder the greatest gift that God has ever given and will ever give. When John the Baptist was talking to his followers, his friends, he said that someone is coming after me. Someone who would clear the threshing floor of all the chaff and the useless stuff that makes up life. The surface stuff, the silly stuff, the chaff. And he'd burn it. Wow, he'd get rid of it. But he was giving us in that picture a summons of preparation for the man, not the baby, not the baby, who is coming to lift you beyond yourself. Beyond the confusion of the world, beyond the hatred of the world, beyond the stupidity of the world, to a new way of thinking. And John was hoping, he was really hoping everyone would take that and find the joy that God is giving, and to welcome the Lord Jesus Christ, and to prepare in your heart for Christ, the Savior. Preparation. Preparation. Oh God, we're so gifted that you touch our lives. We're so gifted that we have one another. We're so blessed that you watch over and guide us. Even now, guide us even more as we prepare once again for our Savior, our Redeemer, our hope, our peace, our love, Jesus Christ. Amen.